Mr. Steve Gardner, are you with us?
I sure am, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you post All-Star break?
I'm worn down, to tell you the truth.
Did he get that extra pulled pork sandwich for me?
Travel troubles or anything? You want to hear about football, right?
I do want to hear about football, but like, here's what I do need though. Like, do you have any behind the scenes stuff? Because you were behind it all. I saw you were tweeting out everything. If people should be following Steve on Twitter, by the way, Steve A. Gardner. You were tweeting out. You guys were on the field. You were in the back area. You guys did a sim of the All-Star game, like right before it happened. So do you have a couple like maybe behind the scenes highlights that maybe, you know, people might not know about, or you just thought were interesting from the All-Star game?
Let's see. I mean, I'm sure people know this already, but Chris Archer is such an amazing young man. I went up to him and talked and did some of the interview stuff that I needed to do and got some opinions on him, and I turned my tape recorder off, and somebody else asked him another question, and it becomes super interesting, his answer there. So I turn it back on, and I record him and have him talking about that, and then I say, okay, I got to move to somebody else. I got to get this work. And then somebody else asks him another interesting question, and he starts talking about things. The guy's amazing. And if he doesn't have a future in TV or whatever after he's done, then my goodness, the TV executives need to have their heads examined. So, I mean, he's fantastic. The other thing too is that Aaron Judge is just as impressive. I think the media loves him just as much as the fans seem to. That's another thing. His locker was just crawling with all sorts of media members, and it was impossible for him. He was the star, I think. Obviously, with the home run derby, he's the guy. But he was even the star in the game last night, and he went 0-for-3 and didn't do anything. But
isn't that incredible
too?
Isn't it incredible in Miami where you have Giancarlo Stanton, who a hometown boy, and Aaron Judge, who's like the new Giancarlo Stanton? He's the big star of the event.
Stanton looked like he was glad it was over.
he seemed to enjoy it, I thought, and I mean he doesn't. I don't know that I can't say he doesn't know any better, but he hasn't become jaded by you know, all the media requests and everything. To him, it's still really, really new. And the one thing that he said at the Home Run Derby press conference was that he keeps a little note on his phone, like a little sticky note that says 172 or 179, whatever he hit last year, just to remind him, you know, you're not always going to be on top of the world, and this game can humble you really quickly. And I think that was an interesting thing that just kind of endears him even more to people. He certainly had a nice little coming out party here at the All-Star game.
I love it. Hey, I got one more for you. I mean, we want to talk fantasy football here, but last thing I want to ask you, we talked about this on the last ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast, and I think a lot of people have talked about it. Where do you stand on the home run derby hurting the guys in the second half? Because it feels like that's the most contentious thing. You have to be on one side or the other.
Yes, I am. It's a complete myth. Complete and utter myth. The reason is, when you're picking guys to be in the home run derby contest, you don't pick a guy that has like four home runs in the first half. You're going to get all of the guys that are at the top of the home run leader charts. And most of the time it's impossible if you are, you know, have a super fast start to be able to maintain that all year. So of course you're going, if you're in the home run derby and you have all these home runs in the first half of the season, and to be fair, the second half of the season, not as many games as in the first half of the season. So if you're trying to break it down that way, you're going to see, oh, you know, Aaron Judge hit 30 home runs in the first half and only hit 17 in the second half. Oh, the home run derby jinx was you know, hit him full. No, it's just the fact that he hit an awful lot of home runs, maybe got a few extra that he may not have deserved, and then his pace is probably still going to be just fine in the second half, but you don't have as many games, and you inevitably get a little cooler. It's just, you look at, for every guy that cooled off, you know, for
correlation,
every Bobby Abreu,
not causation.
Yeah, for every Bobby Abreu that ended up hitting four or five, or David Wright, I think, you know, hit a few home runs after the break and all of that, there are so many more that are just, that go the other way too. And so, yeah, it's a myth. It's an easy story to write, you know, that sort of thing, it's easy to say, oh, look, here are two examples, I'm right. It's bogus.
It's like baseball's version of is LeBron better than Jordan? Like, that's what it is right now, it feels like.
It's just an impossible question to answer, absolutely. Well, the correlation of the records of all my baseball teams is making me go to the causation of turning my attention towards football, Steve. So when we're looking at football, risk is one of the bigger battles fantasy owners face. Are you more of a risk-averse guy, or are you, give me the upside, I want the upside in most of the cases?
I'll tell you, in the early rounds, and I think this is probably the most sensible way to do it, you want the safe guys in rounds 1, 2, and 3. You know, those first few picks have got to produce. You know, you don't need upside from your first round pick or your second round pick. You just need them to give you, you know, basically, even if they kind of underperform a little bit, as long as they don't completely tank, that's a decent first round pick or a second round pick. You look for the upside in those guys in the, you know, round 7 and 8 and 9, where even if, you know, if they don't produce, that's fine. Somebody else can. A waiver wire pick could be the guy that comes in and saves your team. So I look for those guys with upside maybe in the mid to later rounds. And, you know, even if there's just, we talk about it in baseball a lot, the guys from Baseball HQ, I think, pioneered it. But, you know, you draft skills and not roles in baseball. I think in football it's similar. If you've got a guy who's got some good speed, good hands, or whatever, I think you can, if they get a chance, they can produce for you. So I'm definitely going with the solid guys early and then picking and choosing and taking plenty of risks in those later rounds.
Does that make you go towards running back or wide receiver in the first round, a certain position, maybe wide receivers because they're safer, or running backs because it's safer to draft a really good one?
Honestly, it depends on where you are in the first round. I think there are safe running backs. There are safe wide receivers. I think where it gets tricky is toward the end of the first round, where you don't really know exactly, you know, is Melvin Gordon going to get the same kind of treatment that he got last year? Is he going to score that many touchdowns? He seems to be relatively safe, but is it going to be the same with, you know, an A.J. Green or somebody like that? I mean, generally, those guys are fairly safe because, you know, as long as they stay healthy, which is the big key. And I think that's part of it, too. Injury risk is something you have to weigh in there as well.
Well, okay, so I mean, that's interesting that you say that, because I think there's partially, that also almost applies like mid-second round as well. Like, if you're drafting in the top 5 or 6, you kind of get to sit back, and the nice thing about that in the second round is you're going to have kind of two picks close to each other. So I want to put a poll out here. So Super Producer Chris can maybe put out this poll during the break. But I want to start asking you, Steve, and let's see where we get with this. As far as in your eyes, I want to see if we can identify, at least in Steve Gardner's eyes, who is the risky play in the early stages of football drafting. So I've come up with 3. And if you feel there's a better one to say, I want you to say it, Steve. And then we'll put this poll out. We'll see what the audience has to say. Throughout the show, we'll revisit it, and we'll see if we can identify. Here are 3 that I picked, and we'll see what you have to say. And I've got Leonard Fournette as your running back 1, Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver 1, Jordan Howard as a running back 1. Do you have any, Steve? Do you have any to add to that? And we've only got like about a minute here. So, you know, do you have any to add, and what do you think? And then we'll even revisit a little bit more on the other side.
I think those are solid choices. And I will go with you on all 3 of those, that there's a decent amount of risk there. Let's just, for sake of argument, let's stick with those 3. I think those are good.
Okay. So Leonard Fournette, the rookie running back. It's a big kind of contentious, you know, argument this year. A lot of people see the upside. You've got Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver that goes to New England. Does his value get decimated by the Patriots' amount of weapons? Jordan Howard, he did it 1 year. Is he going to be able to keep doing it? Well, that's what we're going to have to find out. We'll see on the other side of this break. What does Steve have to say? What's the riskiest play? Look for the poll. Go search FNTSY Radio. That's where you're going to find it. It's more of In This League coming up on the other side of this break. It's Bogman the Welsh, joined by Steve Gardner. There we go. What's up? It's In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh in the house on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We want to thank all the Fantasy Sports Radio people that have not only, you know, had us, you know, put the compilation show we did on, but, you know, want us to be live. Mike Cardano, Nando. Nando did a great interview with Scott Angle on the Hall of Fame Hour earlier today that you guys should check out. But very happy we are joined by Steve Gardner from USA Today, one of the very, very best, not only minds, but people in the industry. We've had our very lucky opportunity to spend some time with Steve in person out here in Arizona, and just, you know, multitude of times on our shows, the podcasts that we do, the ITL Fantasy, whatever, insert sport podcast. But the question we asked before the break was the riskiest play. Who is the riskiest play coming into this year as far as Steve Gardner goes? But we put a tweet out, so make sure you're checking out FNTSY Radio because we want to talk about the results throughout the show. What we left with was Leonard Fournette as your running back one, Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver one. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean these guys are being taken in the first round. We're just qualifying this as the position. So Fournette is RB1, Cooks is as a wide receiver one, or Jordan Howard as an RB1. So, Steve, what do you think? I know you got an answer here, so talk to us about what the riskiest play is.
Yeah, I think in terms of risk, it's no question for me that it's Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver one. I mean, this is the New England Patriots offense. How many of us have tried to predict what Bill Belichick is going to do on offense and been completely wrong and left holding the bag? I think it's a similar
95% of his opponents.
Yeah, that too. And because you can't figure him out. I mean, once you think there's something going on, you know, and there's a pattern developing, then all of a sudden something else happened. And, you know, Rob Gronkowski is the playmaker in that offense. I think is probably the number one target for Tom Brady when the season starts. Brandon Cooks, great. He can stretch the defense. And, yeah, maybe he gives them kind of a dimension that they didn't have last season. But the fact is, if the defenses start trying to roll up over his way or anything like that, then the Patriots are going to go somewhere else. I mean, they spread it around so well that, I mean, I don't even want to think about what the backfield looked like. But nevertheless, I think, yeah, Brandon Cooks could easily end up with, you know, 55 catches and 950 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, that's not what you want out of a wide receiver one. I think they're so good that they could have any number of players be the star on any given week. So as for the other guys, Jordan Howard is going to get the ball with the Bears. Leonard Fournette is going to get the ball with the Jaguars. And there's nobody else on either of those teams that has even half of the talent of either one of those as running backs. So, yeah, I think they're clear. They're clear RB1s. Cooks, I think he's more of a wide receiver too.
And he'll be the most hated player, by the way. If he has what you just said, he will be the most hated fantasy player next season. I absolutely guarantee it. Would this surprise you? Early poll voting. Remember, FNTSY Radio, that's the handle to go look for. Leonard Fournette is winning this 55% as the riskiest play right now.
Okay,
the unknown. Well. I know. Mm-hmm. Fear of the unknown.
Maybe, but I mean, they all have different terms of unknown. So make sure you go vote on that poll. We'll kind of check in next hour. We'll also ask Jake Seeley about it. So I want to move to another thing here that you just recently took place in one of the FSTA drafts, which, by the way, Steve, maybe you could shed some light on this. I feel sure. Bogman and I, we are like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We get invited to no reindeer games. What do we need to do to become popular? Is the industry fattists because Bogman and I are overweight and need to get better? What do
is
we
that
we
racist
are
against fat people? We're fattest we're, is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. What should we do, Steve? What should we do to get in the reindeer games?
You guys need to take the show on the road, you know, and pop up in different localities all over the country, and then you get that groundswell, adding to your already, you know, immense popularity. You become you know, men of the people, and come take over New York. You know, that's where we're having this draft. I think the ITL podcast could come up there and just make themselves known and become a presence there in New York City.
So we just need to invade. We need to be like
the
NWO. We'll just come in and we'll just kick some tables down.
Or
and
the nation
bad
of
guys
domination.
Yeah, whatever it is. Okay.
I'll put in a good word for you. I don't know how much that'll do, but yeah, you guys come. I think next year. I don't know where the FSTA conference is, where we do the draft there. But we've got two different leagues, and it's one of those meritocracy things where you gotta win your way up from one league to the next. And
regular Tony Romo we have over here.
We'll just Tonya Harding somebody. We'll just find someone's legs and we'll take them out. So
All right. I can point out a couple guys I'd like for you too. So
yes. Oh, I like it. Steve getting the bad guy. I like it. All right, so let's talk about the FSTA draft real quick here. Your first pick is a chalk pick. You got Mike Evans, which looks like, what was that? The seventh pick? Did you have seventh pick in the draft? Okay. And a bunch of big names in here. You got Nondo, you got Howard, Ray Flowers. I mean, everybody's in this. All the big dogs are in here. Clearly why we're not in it. And you took Mike Evans in the first. I don't want to go through the whole draft, obviously. I am interested in your strategy, but your second two picks were the most interesting to me. Will you talk to me for a minute about your idea behind... You took Lamar Miller in the second round, and just for people to know, you took Miller over guys like Fournette and Todd Gurley, and then you came back around and you took Jordan Reed in the third round, where Travis Kelce had gone in the second round. So just you go through maybe your logic on Miller and Reed for me in the second and third.
Sure. Miller, you know, I think he was one of those guys that he needs the ball, and I think Houston is going to be a better offense this year than it was last year. I mean, how could it be, a whole lot worse? But I think, you know, at that point, this was several weeks ago, and Fournette, again, as we were talking about in the earlier segment, he's going to be the guy there in Jacksonville. I worry about the learning curve a little bit, and that's kind of where the difference is with Miller. And the thing is that the Texans love to run. They love to run in the red zone, and Miller is a guy that can be, I think can be a 12 to 14 touchdown kind of guy. The thing is, though, is that they did draft Deontay Foreman this year, and I was really trying to back up Miller with Foreman later in the draft and didn't get a chance to do that. So it may turn out that might not have been the best way to go, but I like Lamar Miller. I had him in a couple leagues last year and was a bit of a disappointment, but I still think there are much better days ahead for him, and I think the offense in Houston is going to be better. So that was kind of the idea behind that. And then as we're talking about risks, here I go and take a guy that does have injury risk. But, Jordan Reed is a guy, I think if he's healthy, I think he's the number one tight end in all of football.
Did you plan to do that? Did you come in thinking you were going to take a tight end in the first three rounds?
I felt like if Jordan Reed was available in the third round, I would seriously consider him. And, I mean, there were a couple of guys around that that area in that third round that I looked at and considered, but it just didn't like them as much as I love the upside that Jordan Reed provides. And so that was the pick I think that's going to make or break this team, really. If he can stay healthy, play 12, 13 games, he's going to be a game breaker. And that's where I was willing to go ahead and say I'll take that risk for somebody who could be the number one tight end in all of football this year.
What about the other running back in Texas? Ezekiel Elliott has hit the news a lot because Adam Schefter said recently that he would be wary to take Ezekiel Elliott early in a fantasy football draft right now because of the ongoing investigation of him. What do you think about Ezekiel Elliott? Are you just fine on him? Like nothing's going to bother you? Because that's kind of how I am. Nothing's going to happen till it happens. Or are you just out on him?
I'm terrified. I really do. I think the NFL, because of the public image that, you do not want to be associated with domestic violence. You want to come down hard on anybody that is accused or, even if there's some nebulous circumstances, I think the NFL really feels like it needs to take a stand on this issue. And will not be afraid to go ahead and throw the hammer down if there is something. This has been an investigation that has lasted a long time. I mean, we were hearing about this last year, weren't we? I mean, it's the same one. And nothing happened, no punishment. And I think that because we're still hearing rumblings about it, that there's got to be something more to it. And at this point, because of how high you have to take Ezekiel Elliott, you know, he's either the first pick, second pick, or third pick, maybe fourth, if you're just going straight drafts and ADPs and all that sort of stuff. If you're, like I was saying earlier, if your number one pick, especially that high in the first round, goes bust, your season could be, you know, just torpedoed right there. So,
okay, so
right
quick,
now,
got,
where would you take him?
Yeah, I was about to say, because we only got like a minute and a half here, and I want to ask you something really important. So really quickly, if Zeke was there at your seven pick, is it scared you enough? Would you have not taken him? Would you have taken Mike Evans? Let's just say something weird happened, and Evans and Zeke were there at seven. Would you have taken Evans?
You know, I've heard a few things since then. I probably would have taken Zeke, but right now, if I had that same choice, I'm taking Mike Evans all day.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. All right. Wow. Tell us real quick, Sports Weekly. You guys are working on the Sports Weekly. It's coming out July 31st. Is that correct? Quick, I think we got about a minute here, so talk to us about that.
Sure. It's just the annual fantasy football special issue. We've got all of our writers within the USA Today Sports Network. Great folks. I would love to name everybody, but we don't have that much time. But we're all combining stuff, our resources together, rankings, you know, position rankings, average auction values, strategy articles, player capsules, everything. And it's going to be perfectly up to date from what we know. Basically, it gets printed and gets sent out, and so
that
everything
is
up to date. It's going to be on newsstands, Sports Weekly, Fantasy Football Special Issue, and it'll be out on the 31st of July.
All right, USA Today, Steve Gardner, Steve A. Gardner on Twitter. Steve, thank you so much, my man.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.